From Harare, Zimbabwe, to the World Wide Web.
You are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Every week, we lead you in conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Our goal is to get you to ask questions and compare what today's culture is telling us versus what the Bible says.
If you're a non-believer, we hope that our conversation will shed more light on what the Christian faith is really about.
Never miss an episode by subscribing through our website, www.radiantculture.africa.
Or you can find us on iTunes.
Like our Facebook page, look up Radiant Culture, and follow us on Twitter at Radiant Culture.
If you're on Instagram, it's Radiant_culture.
Radiant Culture. It's life, it's truth, it's lit.
Stay tuned.
All right, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to Radiant Culture. Welcome to 2018.
Welcome, everybody. This is a Radiant Culture. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
And I'm the Biscuit.
Have we ever been all together? Like,
no,
never
actually
been.
Still missing one person. I'm going to put it out there.
Who's missing? Oh, DJ Kent.
Yes, Mr. Kent.
We need to change that name. I don't even know what it means.
What does your name mean, Cookie Monster?
Okay, let's leave that alone.
Exactly.
Biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening, man?
This and that, man. This and that.
Such a weird name.
Is it Biscuit?
Yeah.
Is that not ridiculous? Ignore him. Like, Cookie Monster has no right to actually say anyone has a weird name. Like, I don't know where he's getting this idea from.
Anyway, you guys are teaming up on me.
It's okay. It's a new year.
Okay. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
My name is Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yours, on the other hand.
That's my name, though. Like, it's an ad. Any spice? It's my name.
Anyway, we shall leave this name thing alone, right? So tonight... Oh, flip.
No. Don't edit that out.
Sounds like you're about to go into a song.
Tonight... Not tonight! Today...
Oh, snap.
Our topic is...
Things have fallen apart!
...is how Christians use fake cuss words like flip and... What did you just say? Snap.
I said nothing.
You said snap.
I said snap.
Which I'm not allowed to say. Exactly.
No, but I do say snap a lot.
I think snap is okay.
Snap. Flip.
It's like... It's
flip is not okay.
Speaking of resolutions, right? Tonight...
Where are you going tonight?
There's something special happening tonight.
I've got a feeling. Tell us.
Our topic.
It's going to be a good night. Where are you going?
Somewhere. Our topic is one that I believe is really very relevant for where we're at, right, in the year. It's the beginning of the year, and as you all know, many Christians, you know, we have things that we do at the beginning of the year. Most churches have...
My
21 days.
If you're listening from outside of Zimbabwe, you will have no idea what my 10 days actually It's a type.
6 to 6.
Yeah, we fast. Zimbabweans, not even not say Zimbabweans, Pentecostal Zimbabweans tend to fast at the beginning of the year. Duration varies. A lot of them are 10 days long. So it's now just become my 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. Other churches do Daniel fasts.
Yemasalad. Literally, because you only eat salad.
Yeah. And a whole lot of other variations.
It's because it's true. It's actually for both.
Can I get a high five? Yes.
Oh, man. And, you know, added to that, people, I know like this year especially, there were lots of crossover services, right?
Mm.
And they're actually called crossover services. I saw several posters that New Year's crossover service.
Mm.
So people do all night prayers and... all kinds of things. And then usually at those crossover services is when the word of the year is announced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And each church or denomination or something seems to have its own word of the year. That's what typically happens, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we can talk a bit about that because, you know, this is a common practice and it's something that's happened. It's been happening now for several years. I think when I became like a Christian, or like a serious Christian, early days, never used to be as rampant as it is now.
Rampant. So, like it's a disease.
Okay. Well, like a good disease, I suppose. But, Yeah, but it just gets like weird sometimes, right? But we want to talk about that. So, yeah, what do you guys think?
Well, I think let's start at the beninging. The crossover thing. Like, I just want to ask you guys, that kid is so cute. Do you think it's that important to... Because I think the theory behind it is how you leave is how you enter. So you want to, you know, enter in prayer, enter in the presence of God, although he's everywhere. So, yeah, do you think you really need to go to all-night prayer every New Year's? Or I can just turn up with my friends?
Did you go?
Go where?
To all-night prayer.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I wanted to.
I saw you.
Because we both went there. But yeah, like what's the reason for it? Because I know some churches don't do it. When I was overseas, we didn't do that. Right. Like New Year's was like, go be with your family or go have fun. Like, do you, if it happens to fall on a Sunday, great. But otherwise, there was nothing happening at church. It's something that is uniquely, well, I'll say, because I've only been in two countries, it's uniquely Zimbabwean.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't go this year.
Why not?
So who went, guys? This is bad.
Yeah,
Radiant culture people.
Guys are just not spiritual, you know.
What's going on?
Why didn't you go, Biscuit?
Well, this was the first year that I actually spent a New Year's out of town with friends. Usually I am there. Mm-hmm. I am there as we cross over into the new dispensation. I'm usually there, but this year I wasn't.
Do you feel any different having not been there, like you missed out on something?
I think maybe a couple of years ago I would have, but now with the way I think about it, the way I view it all, no, I don't personally feel like I missed out much. It's not like I didn't then get the word of the year. It's not like I haven't been meditating on that thereafter. I just wasn't there on that day,
mm-hmm.
at that moment, in that particular place. Okay, no, that would sound very snarky if I say what I was about to say.
No, go for it.
You've already started.
I was going to say, last time I checked, the year changed to the next year everywhere. So it's almost regardless.
Very snarky. You know Snarky Puppy?
A little snarky.
There's a band called Snarky Puppy. You know, you guys don't listen to bands. It's a really cool band.
And you, Cookie Monster? Jeez, on me, bruh. Anyway. Do you feel indifferent having not been at church?
Do I feel indifferent?
Any different.
Oh.
Did you feel like you missed out on something because you didn't go to the crossover?
I went out of town with some friends. Mm-hmm. Also, we drove. It was just a day trip. And we went to check out like all kinds of stuff, like crocodiles and stuff. It was really cool. And then came back. By the time we came back, we got back, we were really tired. And we bought a whole lot of food and we overate. And then we
clapped on you.
Yeah, and then we fell asleep. But I wasn't planning.
So you were sleeping during the...
No, well, I then woke up just a few moments before.
To do the countdown.
Of course.
Actually, it's really dumb, guys. Like, it's just a...
No, it's not just... It's the countdown.
I know.
But let me explain.
Like, Biscuit just said, like, that somewhere else it was already 2018.
I know, but, you know, you've got to own it. For me, the thing is that I... In many ways, like, Biscuit... For the past, I don't know how many years, I've always been there, right? I've always gone to church and you pray the year in, as we like to call it.
Mm.
And I think, you know, there's something to that. There's something about that. Maybe more so it's about the way it makes you feel and the way it kind of, it gives you the confidence that you've kind of entered the year on a...
On a high note,
mm-hmm. on a good note, right? Yeah. But then also, you know, I've kind of been thinking about it. That does it really make a difference if I'm there? Can I pray at home? Like, okay, last year we didn't go either, but we prayed at home, mm-hmm. right, with some friends, and I enjoyed that. So I think in many ways I view it differently now.
I guess that kind of touches on other thoughts that I've had concerning that matter. I am one who is an advocate for corporate prayer. I do believe it is necessary. I do believe corporate movements. When we say corporate, obviously, we're not talking about companies for those. It's another Pentecostal thing where it just means the full body of Christ, the whole church, praying together, working together, speaking the same thing at the same time. I do think there's a lot of value in that. I do believe that it helps people focus on a particular direction for the body as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, at the same time as that, the strength of the body is also, in a way, hugely affected by the strength of the individual. So for me, I'm one more to put emphasis on praying for me, myself, because God's going to talk to me. He's going to guide me
right.
and help me participate in what the body's doing. So I don't like neglecting self and the prayer for your particular calling or whatever being neglected for the sake of the all-night prayer for the larger body
right.
and ignoring you mm-hmm. at the same time. So I guess I'm like in both camps in that area to some extent. So I'm like, yeah, pray at home. Well, like, yeah, there's something to be said about praying with everybody else for the new year type yeah. thing specifically.
But you can pray for yourself anytime. You could do that True. Before or after. Whereas the corporate one, that yeah, specific that's a, one yeah. is really only going to be at that time. I don't know. I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. But I didn't end up going and I felt weird. I really did feel weird.
Yeah.
It was just, I'm usually at church. So I can't even say I've like taken time to really reflect and think of what God is saying to me this year and whatever, because sometime last year it really dawned on me that God actually lives outside of space and time. Mm-hmm. So his season for me may not even be determined by the calendar per se.
Right.
So if I'm entering a new season, like everyone, all these, I was going to say a bad word, forwards that I'm getting right. about new season, new time, is it time? I'm like, yeah, yeah. God hasn't really shown me that. Just because it's 1 January doesn't mean that it's a new season.
Yeah.
You get.
You know my question on that? This is just a question. Because this show is kind of freestyle. This is like we're not necessarily going to be prescribing much, are we? Maybe we are. I don't know. But my question.
We're indoctrinating everybody.
The is your word for the year always the same as the one for the house?
What's the house?
I think it's
in the church. You need to actually explain.
All right. The house,
body, the house, the corporation. Anyway.
Yeah. So like if you go to the church and at the beginning of the year, they say, this is the year of ultimate determination. Right? That's just an example. I don't think anyone has that one. But they say that. Is that necessarily the word for you? For you, maybe? I don't know.
Well, if you trust that the man of God was given, another term, man of God, was given the word for the flock that he's overseeing, then I guess the word should apply. But it's not like the word is ever super, super duper specific such that you can't apply it one way or another as an individual, regardless of what your specific word is.
So most of the words are catch-all?
I think so. Because like, say, for example, if the word of the year to church is grace, I mean, really, anybody can apply that.
True.
Even if you're in a season of whatever.
Doesn't that beg the question or lean into the notion that because the word can be so general, it's stuff you're meant to be doing anyway as a Christian in general?
You see, and this is where it gets interesting, right? That we've almost become, what do I call it? Obsessed with this whole notion of the word of the year, because each church feels like they need to have their word of the year, right? Mm. And the thing that kind of confuses or baffles me, right, sometimes is why do we feel like we have to wait until the beginning of a new year for God to say something new to us. Like you rightly mentioned at the at the beginning a few moments ago, he said, just because it's a new year doesn't mean it's a new season for me, right? And the other question I often have is, does it mean that all of a sudden, because we're now in the year of
increase,
right, does it mean that the year of favor
has ended?
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or
do they overlap? Or do these years keep on accumulating? And then after about 10 years of getting different words, you're now
Super Saiyan Christian.
So I think these are the things that we need to kind of think about. To say, does God only speak significantly right, at the beginning of a new year. Or what?
Or here's another one. Maybe God doesn't just speak significantly at the beginning of the year. Maybe the issue is that we're only listening.
I was about to say that, Kuti, maybe the pastor got the word in June, July, August, but he knows that, okay, for people to really implement this guy, I need the help of the calendar. So they'll be ready to catch it.
So in other words, the calendar is really irrelevant.
I'm asking, bro.
In a way, yeah. I mean, really the calendar, just the notion of the calendar itself is irrelevant. Dates are made up. We created all those things.
Right.
We fathomed that. The Chinese only begin their new year next month. So
And the Hebrews began theirs in September, October.
So the dates aren't so important.
So there's a Chinese Christian in your church. For them, the word of the year is still last year's word.
Kicks in
when their new year begins.
I don't know. He's saying, rightly so, the calendar is a man-made construct. But I think, pastors use it because they know our psychology behind, okay, people feel like it's a fresh start, so let me give them this new thing for them to chew on.
And so, you know, I think that another point of concern for me where this whole psychology thing is concerned is something that I've heard it's a thing that I've heard spoken about by other people who are not even really Christians, who say, you know, the problem with religion or the problem with Christianity is that it's got this herd mentality where people just do things because of groupthink and all of that. So thinking about that, right, and again, this is just a question, that when the word of the year is given, or when your pastor or the leader of your church says, this year is the year of whatever, right? And they give the justification and all of that. Do we take time to process and reason that out, to actually see that, number one, does it tally with what scripture says? Does it tally with where, does it resonate with where, what if, with where I'm at as a person? What if it doesn't? And also, do we stop to question, to say, hasn't this just become a tradition that we're trying to sustain? Is it, if we stopped altogether, are we going to stop hearing from God, right? You see what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Isn't God going to, if it's really the year of, for example, increase, isn't God going to find a way of getting you to know that this is your year of increase without necessarily it being declared a year of increase?
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of questions that I often ask myself.
Mm.
Yeah.
I remember once we had a year of restoration, and people were really panicking. Like, New Year's Eve, Kutisha, my money still hasn't come back in. Like, God said, it's the year of restoration.
Isn't the year is coming to an end?
Yeah, like, my window period for my stuff to be restored, whatever, the canker worm has eaten and the rust is, whatever. Everyone was feeling like, shit, I really need to cash in on this word before the clock strikes 12, because after that, there's no restoration for me. Like, that's kind of like the psychology that also, the wrong kind of psychology that attaches itself to the word of the year. And then the pastor actually had to preach a message, which, you know, guys, you can still get your restoration in the next year. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I wanted to teach you guys about this more this year so that you can apply it maybe more or whatever. It was kind of like, I literally saw the panic. Like, people were like, guys, but I haven't had my restoration yet.
My money,
my house. Like, I lost some stuff, man, and I want it back. Like, this year, the pastor promised me that there was restoration this year.
The danger, I see it, is in a lot of these declarations is not many pastors or prophets or whoever it may be that may be making a declaration proceed to dig into it or explain or ground the declaration on the day or thereafter. So it remains very fantastic. And after a while, I think we look at it with carnal eyes, shall we say. Instead of, let's say, that year of restoration, because we fixate on it, we're now expecting restoration in particular areas that we feel we want restoration in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Whereas the restoration may have come.
Mm.
Maybe you're talking to people you stopped talking to. Maybe you got new opportunities that you totally missed that had been taken away. That's but because you were focused on, I want my car to come back, you missed it. And I think that often happens because some of these words are not then broken down and explained, or the full scope of them explained. And we start looking for the same type of results that we saw in whoever else we were watching at the
yeah.
time.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
good.
And that can be very problematic.
Which brings me to another point, question and something that I want us to discuss. I saw a post that someone made, and I actually took a screenshot of it because I thought it was quite interesting. And it says, why is every New Year prophecy about your career and not your character?
Wow.
Right, that's something that someone posted. And I thought, you know, the truth is that when I was looking at, I was on Facebook just checking out the different things that people were posting about the word of the year at their church. It's the year of blessing. It's the, and now it's starting to sound more and more sophisticated, right? It's the year of the seventh dimension blessing. Or, you know, we say all these fancy things, but why is it never the year of breaking our hearts before God? And why is it never the year of dealing with the secret sins? Or, you know,
yo,
what I'm trying to say?
Yo, nobody is going to catch on to
why is it never the year of
dealing with the secret sins? No,
but aren't those the things that are really pertinent?
Those are the things, yeah.
Dina, what if I don't have any secrets? Then the year skips me.
So, but character issues. I just thought, wow, this is quite, you know, it's very simple, but I think it's profound in many ways because we get so caught up in, you know, God is going to bless me with a new car and a new job and I'm going to get a wife, I'm going to get a husband, whatever it is. And we're thinking about all those supposedly big things, right?
Yeah.
But kuiwewe wacho, right? When are you going to stop watching porn? When are you going to stop flirting and doing all these silly things that people... When are you going to stop stealing, right? But how come we're not dealing with those things? It's almost implied in the message that, yeah. But I think maybe we need to have words of the year that are more direct like that.
But then the question becomes, and I totally agree with you, and also on the notion of the fact that a lot of the time it's implied within whatever... It is that it is. If it's the year of growth, it's implied in a way that you are meant
for
to
you to grow.
You have to do A, B, C, D. All right. So, word of the year and your own resolutions, should they match?
That's a bit tricky because you only get the word of the year on December 31st.
Yeah.
What if I'd come up with these resolutions like in November or something?
That's a question. So maybe you should change your resolutions now that it's the year of ultimate takeover.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you didn't have good enough resolutions for the ultimate takeover.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
should we even have resolutions?
That's the thing.
I don't know. I don't have resolutions.
You know,
I don't know what kind of Christians y'all are. I don't have resolutions. You didn't go to crossover. Don't believe in words of the year.
Look, I have goals. It's just the goals themselves. You can call them resolutions because you have to have resolve to achieve your goals. You could, but I prefer goals. But I know people have resolutions.
Yeah.
Decide that I want A, B, C, D this year. And I guess that should be tied to something God is telling you. I think it only makes sense.
Ish, that's tricky. I don't know if all my goals are tied to things that God has said to me explicitly.
Do they need to? Is the question.
Or maybe they should be tied to things that you know God wants for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm also thinking of the pragmatic side of things, which is that, because we tend to spiritualize things quite a lot, right? Where at the beginning of the year, everyone is all spiritual and hey, you've got a scripture, you've got a scripture tied to your resolution. You know? But as life progresses and as the year progresses and reality, quote unquote, takes over, We tend to forget these things. Remember, I was joking with you, T-Mac, saying, don't worry, you'll get it in August that time.
Yes.
But the reality is that by like the time you get to June, sometimes people have forgotten all that stuff. Sometimes it's no longer the year of grace for them because a lot of stuff has happened. You've been let down. You've made mistakes. And you just feel like, I don't even think it's the year of grace because you're expecting something to happen. I think that, you know, the word of the year is important and it's got its place depending on what church you go to. I honestly think some of these words are rubbish, but this is just me, right? Sorry I'm not talking to anyone, but I'm just saying some of the words I've seen, I'm thinking, come on, you started your church 2 years ago, you're already having words of the year. Just focus on like building people in that church, auntie, before you start telling us it's the year of seven dimensions. And also, I think that we get into this whole thing where it becomes routine and a tradition that you've got to have a word. Why can't you have a word every 3 years?
Yeah.
Right? But I'm just saying that let's be careful to not get caught up in these traditions just because it's something that's done, and actually ask ourselves, what's God saying to me this year?
Mm.
Or what have I set to achieve for God or for myself this year? And actually chase after that. Because relying on the word of the year, right, means that you want to give the responsibility to something that's outside of you.
Yeah.
Then you just be like, ah, no, the pastor lied to us. Nothing was restored. But what did you do about your restoration? What did you do about changing stuff? So anyway, that's the kind of tip I'm on.
But in general, like, have you seen those memes that go around of like, it's the same like list of resolutions, but it's like just scratched, different words are scratched out, and like he's just rewording the same thing because he clearly didn't achieve anything the previous year, mm-hmm. or like, yeah, there's just not much has happened.
And maybe we don't need to achieve things within the year. You know, I heard someone say that we overestimate what we can achieve in a year and underestimate what we can achieve in 5 years.
Mm.
Some of these things don't have to be done within the 12 months.
Yeah,
if you failed to do it last year, change something, sharp. Because the same thing is going to happen. You're going to, well, maybe you need to stretch it over, like, spread it over like 5 years.
Yeah.
Then you see what I'm saying?
Mm.
But I just think we need to get practical.
I think we aren't listening, maybe. The word of the year, I think, is good in that it gives you, like you said, at some point in time, you get tired, you get exhausted, life beats you down.
Yeah.
And that word and its existence and the fact that it's repeated among so many people around you, I think also serves to give you strength to push through some things, to make it over hurdles that you otherwise would have seen as too big for you. But then when you look at it in the holistic thing and you think, okay, no, it's the year of hope. And right now I feel hopeless, but there's more year to come. I can make it through this moment. It's good.
Yeah.
On the flip side, or maybe not flip side, to just add to it, we really do need to actually, once you've received it, if you chose to, sit down and actually ask God to help you understand, internalize, know what you are meant to do within this, know what applies to you. Maybe not all of it applies to you.
Yeah.
Figure that out. I don't think we ask. I think we just listen and then we wait for the next Sunday for the next message about it.
Yeah.
And then the next week for the next message about it. Then we learn all the buzzwords and we just say them, hi, my faithful, super strong brother. We're doing all that, but we're not sitting and saying, okay, let me look up the scriptures that the pastor mentioned.
Yeah.
Let me see what this means in my life. Let me look for the signs, the clues. Let me look for the direction. Let me go into a quiet place and listen.
Yeah.
I don't think we digest any of this stuff.
Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing during the fast?
Good point.
At the beginning of the year?
We are.
Oh, that's a whole other thing altogether. Right.
Do you know, I was really thinking about it because I was like, okay, God, why? Why do they insist on beginning of the year? Why can't we do the fast in the middle? Like, why is it specifically this time? And then I don't know if I was talking to someone or if I listened to something, but then the thinking behind it was the whole first fruits theology, that if the first is blessed or consecrated, then the rest is. So that's why you give this first portion. And it's not to say that you can't fast any other time of the year as well, but like the corporate fast at the beginning is meant to consecrate and like Biscuit is saying, like help you digest the message, and then the rest of your year will be blessed.
I can get the logic, you know, and I can get the reasoning behind that. And I think it makes some sense, you know, that coming together as a corporate body to pray about specific issues, to all be in one mind, I think is important. And also, I don't want us to downplay the importance of doing things together corporately as a church.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely a place for that, right? However, it's important for us to always be asking the right questions. Like even the whole fasting thing, we should not view, I don't think we should view that as some sort of a silver bullet to say, I fasted at the beginning of the year. I've committed my whole year to God.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, everything is supposed to work. God, you owe me. Like, what I do, though, is that I pray for all my food. at the beginning of the year.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
You mean all your food for the whole year?
Yes. So that if I forget to, if I forget to pray for
Are you being for real right now?
I do that. I did that that night. I was like, Jesus, all the guas.
In case anyone tries to poison you, need ice cream.
You never know. Hey, these days. These days, things are happening, guys. Yeah. So you got to be strategic about these things. Mm. I found that it works.
Okay.
You know, I haven't had any major issues with any of my food.
No food poisoning, anything. That's good.
That's good. I mean, unless I then decide to like run for some important office or something. But anyway, so what I'm just saying is that we need to really ask ourselves the important questions and not place the responsibility on the church or the church leader. You were when you're fasting, why are you fasting, right? What difference is it going to make? And what do you want to see? And also, my pastor talks about living a fasted lifestyle, right? Are you fasting? Are you still seeking God during the rest of the year, right? Mm. Or is it just something you do at the beginning of the year and then you forget about it because you've met your quota for the year? You know what I mean? So
it's your quota.
You are. Hey, yeah. I think a lot of people.
But yeah, that is part of the psychology, I think.
So we need to really think about these things because they're important. Otherwise, guys, we can't be doing the same stuff every single year and then complaining.
But do we even notice kutiyajiskunya zoshanda? Because do we really review our previous year to the extent that we actually know, okay, this goal I didn't achieve because of A, B, C, D. Next year I need to change this. This word of the year, section 2.A, God told me it applies to me, but I didn't apply it. Like, I don't think we actually do that sort of in-depth review at
all. No one likes looking at failure. You know that you messed up your year by... I'd say October. You've got a clear picture that hey,
by August,
this one's a loss.
By August, you know.
By August, but you don't. You're now so focused on the next year. You don't want to review your past. You don't want to look back at that and think of. No one likes it, and it's a failing. It is a true failing we have because we rinse and repeat all the mistakes we had the last year, all the character flaws. Mm-hmm. That are causing the problems to repeat. We just leave them and just embrace the new year as the same person who failed to embrace the previous one.
You.
Wow.
So
new wine.
Shots fired. That's
old wine skin.
Yeah. No, but that's so true, you guys. Like, I've just really just, that's a light bulb moment for me. Especially when you just said new, what did you say?
New wine
skin. New wine in an old wineskin.
Yeah.
Like, we just go, we just carry on, guys. The same person thinking the word of the year is going to change something. See, so when you haven't changed anything.
That's quite profound, actually. Because we think somehow it's magical. It's just, God, we just do something.
Guys, if you took anything from tonight, today.
Tonight.
Take that. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing also is, I've been thinking about this year. A lot of profound things happened in our country last year. And for me, it will always be entrenched in my mind, you know, that this 2017 was a really significant year because our president got, he resigned, right?
The former, squash banana.
Right. Banana. And I did not think, at some point I started thinking that I was going to die.
Yeah.
And he would just be like, so that for me was like an epic moment. I know it's not a political... a discussion and stuff, but you know, this is important stuff, right? And other things happened, like the falling of grace from grace. So these things are important, pertinent issues, right? I think there's some macro issues that are addressed in some of the words, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's stuff to do maybe with things that God is going to do at a national level. I heard multiple leaders in our nation talk about the fact that things are going to change in government last year.
Yeah.
Right. To be honest, I rolled my eyes and thought, I've heard all this stuff before. Give me a break.
Yeah.
That old man ain't going nowhere. Right. But, you know, things happened and stuff. So I think there are some things that God is doing through his men and women, set men and women, I guess, at a macro level that are not necessarily individual things. So maybe there is that factor as well, right?
Yeah, and we would want to focus prayer on those things as well. Yeah.
I suppose those are things we pray for corporately.
Yeah, it's rare that you'd end up praying for that individually. Yeah.
All right, so that's it for today. I think this has been a really good discussion and an important one. I'm hoping that everybody managed to pick out some things there that apply to them. And of course, as always, you know, we never claim to have all the answers, but we want to trigger some thoughts and some questions so that we become better Christians, better people, critical thinkers. And, you know, we need to be that in order to be well-rounded. And
you know, just to add, I really feel as though everyone, and I'm just receiving a word, I'm catching it in the spirit God wants you to listen to Radiant Culture religiously throughout the year. He just, I'm just getting a sense, it's just dropped it in my spirit right then. It could really help you.
That resonates.
I can't go deeper. That's all I got.
You reached the depth.
Catch it.
Anyway, guys, it's been good. It's been real. Thank you for listening. I'm Cookie Monster.
I'm Biscuit.
And I'm T-Mac.
And we're out.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.